Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, of course, I have my two brothers, Taj and Terrell.
What's up?
How are you guys? Yeah, what took so long?
Why are you copying me?
How are we doing, you guys?
Good.
What's going on, T?
Nothing much. I missed you guys.
I know.
2 weeks in a row.
Man, it was heavy last week.
Was it?
I know what LeBron feels like carrying the team.
I have to say, Taj was all right. I listened in, and you guys did well. I have to say, I was really proud of you guys.
You did all right.
I listened in to start, and I thought I'd only listen for 5 minutes, and then I get back to the meeting I had. But I have to say, I listened the whole show.
Yeah,
I had to take a couple phone calls, but you guys had me. So you guys really exceeded my expectations.
Did you leave a review?
I didn't leave a review. Okay. You didn't get me that much. Okay. But I was really impressed.
Yeah, it was cool.
And Royal had some good, my son Royal was here. And he had some good chime in, right?
Yeah, he was good.
Okay.
Was
good.
Well, I like the TJ 2.0 version better.
Oh, well. Hopefully he can build off of me. But anyway, we are live here on the Power of Love show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take Twitter questions and comments. First of all, let's give them the phone line. Terrell, you want to give
Let's give them the Twitter handle first. It's at DDJ Foundation. Once again, it's at DDJ Foundation. And then the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815.
Now, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. So we want to share our opinions and what we've learned in an attempt to help you overcome and get through or navigate through whatever it is you're going through. With that said, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us.
Yep.
Before we get into the show, because we have an awesome guest today, I'd like to ask you guys, and sometimes you guys ask me back, but I like to ask you.
You always ask me back.
I want to know how your week was.
It's good. This is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
Because, it was Papa T's birthday, by the way.
You're saying October? Or
just this time of the year, because basketball's on, baseball's on, and football's on.
So it's a sports thing.
It's a sports thing, and it's just great. It's exciting because in baseball, you're getting to the World Series, and then basketball just started, so all the trades and everything happens. And then football, you're kind of in the middle. So
okay.
I like that time. But then, again, yesterday was the opening day with Cleveland versus the Celtics.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know about Gordon Hayward.
It's really
sad. Which is really sad. 5 minutes, 5 minutes into his debut with the Celtics, he was traded from the Utah Jazz. Or not traded. He left Utah and went to the Celtics and joined his college coach.
Yeah.
And he broke his ankle.
And not only did he break his ankle, it was a gruesome injury.
It was bad, you
get squeamish just looking at it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a difficult road of recovery for him. But Kobe actually tweeted something that was really, really powerful.
Yeah.
Did you see
that? I wanted to see what he would say. I saw a lot of tweets from around other sports players and just fans in general. But we've talked about that. We've talked about not just, death loss, but
just loss.
That's got to be hard. You work so hard all season. You prepare for it. And then 5 minutes, not just for his team, the fans. I mean, Gordon's like, my heart goes out to him because I don't, hopefully he can recover and be 100%, but we'll see.
Well, Kobe Bryant tweeted, "It's a long journey, but if you focus on the many milestones along the way, you will find beauty in the struggle of doing simple things that prior to this injury were taken for granted."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very powerful way to kind of, I don't want to say put this in perspective, but it's really true.
Yeah, one step at a time.
We're all going to experience bad things and painful experiences. We have to just take one step at a time, and then we start to evolve as people and learn to be more thankful for the little things.
And that's one of the things I want to say I really liked about his injury, because I didn't like it at all. But seeing people like Paul George, who went through a similar thing, I think a year ago or 2 years ago with Team USA, Kobe Bryant reaching out, he had a terrible, was that Achilles?
Yeah.
Tear a couple years ago. Just a lot of players that went through injuries like that, they were really rallying and giving support to him. Even, some of the Cavs players, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. It was horrible to see, and I wish him well.
Taj Jackson.
Yes.
What do you have?
I did the walk for ALS Sunday. It's my third time doing it.
Nice, so, man.
It was really, I always love doing it. Unfortunately, the person that we walk for is no longer here. But we walk in his memory.
When you first started, was the person?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And then the second year, he had deteriorated, basically, to the point where he wasn't at the... Might have been 4 years, because 1 year he was in a wheelchair. So, but it's an important cause anyway. And the person that I supported went to school with Davina, and it was her husband. And Davina and I, it's weird because we were close. Everyone in our school was close, but we weren't like best friends. But she was such a sweet person, and it's later on in life that we got closer. But we all, I think the whole, like a lot of our classmates rallied behind her when she was going through this.
That's good. That's good that you did that, Taj.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, you know me and exercise, so.
Yeah, I know. For Taj to get out there is unbelievable.
To do a walk is in general. Like,
I'm proud of you though, man.
Thank you.
I missed 2 weeks, so I'm going to just, first week was better than the second week. Okay, so first week I took Royal to New York for the first time.
Yes.
And we had a really good time. Father-son trip, bonding. I got to show him a lot of the things. And it was a good trip. Second week, as in last week, I was at, mostly in San Diego for the Real Estate Expo, which was fantastic as well. But I don't really have anything beyond that to really talk about.
You want me to help you out?
Sure.
We'll talk about, doesn't matter.
What did I miss?
The camera, the iPhone.
Oh, I got an iPhone 8. And I learned that they have a new portrait mode on it.
But you got the Plus.
I got the Plus for the first time, and it's great. So that's what he was signaling. Anyway, you guys, we have a really special and awesome and fun guest today.
Yes.
That we are going to introduce. Her name is Amy Pickard. Amy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are doing good.
Thank you for coming.
So happy to be here.
We are so happy to have you, Amy. And Amy, you have a company called, first of all, I should give all the Instagram, because I get so caught up in the conversation, I forget to do the plugs.
Right.
So Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, very smartly, is one handle.
Yep, just one.
At Good To Go Peace, as in world peace.
Yep.
Good To Go Peace, check it out, because a lot of great information, and Amy has a cool personality. But anyway. Amy's laughing.
And I'm single, so hey, what?
All right.
No, so, that's not why I'm here.
Okay, so Amy, tell us what Good To Go is.
Good To Go is an unconventional advanced planning company, and what I do is I guide people through their advanced planning paperwork, but in a party atmosphere. So, people describe it as death Tupperware parties. Someone hosts a good to go party in their home. I come to facilitate it. Everyone brings a potluck dish to share. I say it'd be nice if it's based on a recipe of a loved one, because I feel really close to my mom and my granny when I make the recipes. But I get it, the people are busy, so if you can't make Aunt Martha's lemon cake, you can just buy one at Ralph's. I mean, we don't judge. And then everyone brings their own kind of booze or cocktail, and then we have a rock and roll death-themed soundtrack like Stairway to Heaven or Knocking on Heaven's Door, and we just kind of go through the advanced planning paperwork process, but with a sense of humor.
Wow. Okay, so, and where did Good To Go, how did it come about?
It came about because when my mom passed away out of the blue in 2012, I think, 2012, I was overwhelmed with all of what I call the death duties.
Mm-hmm.
So, just down to the basics of I had to fly to Chicago where my mom had lived and go to her condo, and you kind of have to close out the paper presence of that person on Earth. And I didn't even know the electric company's name in Chicago. I had to Google that. And that's just one of the millions of questions that I was inundated with, and it just was so completely overwhelming that I wish that there was some sort of book or service that would help me get it all together. Mm. And there wasn't one, so I created one.
By the way, it's an awesome name. Did you come up with that name? Good to go.
I did not come up with it. It was one of those things where, what do we call the company? And I'm kind of a hippie, so we were thinking, like, give death peace a chance. You know, we were trying to figure out, like, how to make it. But I knew that I would know it when I heard it. And my English friend actually called me and said, I think I have the name of your company. Just as I was getting ready to go to bed, I was thinking about you and your company. And she said, good to go. I was like, that's it.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
It just says it all right there.
So creative. Okay, another question for you. Before we get into details of what Good to Go, like the planning and the files and all that stuff, what advice, because when we talk about advanced planning, I think I'm getting to a point where I'm comfortable talking to it. Like I envision me having a conversation with my wife or my, you know, my son who's going to be 18 in a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to our listeners or anyone who's listening on how to bring up that difficult topic of advanced planning or even death? Of how to,
right?
What would you, what do you recommend?
That's the number one question I get, is how do we bring this up for our parents, or how do I, you know, bring the topic up with my friend or whatever? And I just say, if you try to get your advanced planning done yourself, then that opens the door to other people. So you can approach your mom and dad if they're getting older and say, look, I'm getting my advanced planning together, and I was talking with my partner, and I'm not sure if they knew what I wanted, and so I just thought, I don't know what you guys want. And just as a joke, my mom used to say, oh, I just want to be cremated and put in a mayonnaise jar and set out for trash day. And it was like, ha, 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 you know. But then when she died out of the blue and was actually cremated, I'm like, I'm not going to look for a Hellman's jar. Like, come on, you know. Right. So, you know, you have to figure out, like, what would she have wanted, you know. And luckily, I was close with her, and so we kind of had an idea. But it's those kind of things that you need to write your wishes down. You need to talk about them. You need to have these conversations. And if you just open the conversation with, you know, I'm getting it together for me, you know, let me, you know, see what you guys wanted. Maybe we can all do it together.
I love that strategy.
The family good to go parties are the most fun.
So what is that? You throw a party where a family, I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
A family comes and they kind of, you go over these important questions.
Yeah. I mean, just to throw out an example, say if you wanted to host a good to go party and you would invite your brothers.
I would
then,
invite them.
And then all and then all the, you know, whether all the spouses or partners or even parents, you know, and you get everybody together and we go through all of the paperwork. And I'm telling you, you learn so much about your family members. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
The crazy thing about that, and I could be completely wrong, but it almost sounds like it's quite fun.
Right? That's what I was going to say.
And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But it looks like if someone asks you what you want, it looks like your friends would be like, you don't want that, man.
Yes.
You kind of want to do, really?
But you know what? You know what's cool? It is fun. It's an experience. But I think it's so important because you as a person, you kind of, first of all, you don't make those, I think you think about those decisions, but you don't relay them to the important people in your life.
Right.
That's the first thing. And the second of all, I think those are decisions you kind of just make in your own mind.
Right.
Where I think if you, it's like a board of a company, you know, the stronger, if you have a great team around you, you're going to make better decisions. So I think,
I love that.
I think if you put together, you know, a group of people that you know and love and respect and answer these important questions, you're going to come out with a better and more firm response to many of these questions.
And not just that, but kind of a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation for living. And so a lot of people, when they leave parties, you know, people say, you know, are the parties morbid or do you cry or are they sad? And they're not at all. I mean, are there heavy moments? Yes. You know, are there tears? Sometimes.
Yeah.
But then it's all in the nature of love.
And it's healthy.
And it's healthy. Exactly. And you know, just for example, I had a consultation and I said, you know, what do you want put on your headstone or your tombstone? Right. And my friend was thinking, and he was like, I don't know. And then he said, how about too legit to quit? And his wife was like, no, you're not putting that on your headstone. Now, granted, he's not going to have that. But when the time comes and I see his actual tombstone, I'm going to laugh because I'm going to think about when he said too legit to quit. You know, so it's things like that, like the conversations that we have, even though they're, as I call them, deathy, those are the conversations that actually you'll draw a lot of nutrition from when you're grieving that person. So, and I, it's almost like good cop, bad cop. I feel like I can be the bad cop, in quotes, to kind of get people to talk about, you know, the conversations that a lot of people avoid.
So when you form these questions, I guess there's a conversation, and you can answer a lot of these questions. But how did you come out? How did you come about with all these questions? Maybe that's what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I wrote down, it's called the Good to Go Advanced Death Care Directive, and it can also be used as an in case of emergency file. And it's a history of your bills and all the logistics, you know, like social media passwords. Do you want an announcement made about your death on social media? Mm. And do you have a legacy contact on your Facebook page and things like that? So those were just things that I came up against, you know, when my mom died and then later my granny afterwards. But then I also put in the conversations I wished I would have had with my mom. Some of the questions I'd already talked to her about, like, what are some signs that you're going to try to leave me when you go? And now, who knows if you can actually do that, but it's comforting to me to know what she said. And, you know, if I see a rainbow, I think of her. And I remember she said she'd like that, you know. So it's things like words of comfort I would give you while you're grieving my loss. You know, if my mom would have written that down, that's something. As you guys know, if you see something of your mom's handwriting or old letters or cards, I mean, those are just so meaningful and so evergreen. I mean, you know, I had a birthday last week and came across a birthday card my mom sent me when I was 30, and it was as if she sent it to me last week, you know? So it's all of those questions, like, what were your favorite things in life, you know, because once that physical connection's gone, you still want to connect with your loved ones and incorporate them in your everyday. And I found doing that through their favorite things. So I included a lot of favorite things in there. So if it says favorite travel destination, and if you said, oh, I loved going to this one cafe in Paris, you know, you would bet that your loved ones, next time they went to Paris, they'd go there, they'd celebrate you. And it's all about celebrating the person in your life. So that's how I came up with the questions.
And my question that I was going to ask was how it differs from a will. How does what you're doing differ from a will? But I think you kind of answered
that. That's it. It goes into more personal and kind of spiritual detail.
But it also goes into a more... Even, I know you said the word personal, but it's really more personal. It's more, it's not just, you know, A, B, C. It's more like A and then 1, 2, 3, 4 under A. You're really digging in to learn about the person. And what I love is I think it's beneficial for the loved ones of that person to grasp and still continue to have a strong bond. So I think it's really cool.
And it's a conversation that needs to happen. And I think, you know, there's one of the questions that says, how do you want to be remembered? You know, and a lot of people think that, oh, a good daughter, a good wife or whatever. But it's also, no, really, how do you want to be? Do you want us to plant something in your memory? Do you want us to, you know, my dad was a huge animal lover. So, you know, do you want me to, you know, put some kind of thing at a dog park where, you know, John Pickard says, you know, have some water on him because he loves doggies. Or, you know, you can actually, like, work with your family and friends on how you'd like your legacy to be carried on, you know.
Beautiful.
And a lot of people don't think about that or really talk about it, but I'm trying to get people to.
I think it's great.
I have a couple of things to ask. The first thing is, do you have, I'm assuming that you do, but do you have something in there, like, what is, I know you said, like, important things, like, because when our mom died, she left a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and Taj is the oldest, so he kind of got left.
I wish I had what you, that, because there was a lot of decisions to be made and a lot of, like, where is everything at? And we actually lost our house that was almost had been paid because no one paid the bill because it. We didn't
just
even think about it.
So
we
thought
we
weren't even thinking about it.
No,
that.
You're grieving.
Yeah.
You're not.
And then, you know, visited it a little while later and someone was living there. You know,
oh my
like,
gosh.
So it was like that was. But it, for me, I feel like, I don't know, it's like certain things I know I would hope. It's like, okay, what was my mom attached to? What would she care that we kept? And what would she say? No, you could sell that or you know, I don't need that. You can get rid of that. And I think that was the thing for even today. We kind of questioned, like, what would mom want us to have, and what was she okay with
us getting rid of?
Yeah, getting rid of, because a lot of the stuff she saved so that for a rainy day if something ever happened. So that was the hard thing for me. I don't think we know what she would want to keep. Obviously, sentimental stuff we keep, but
right.
But I also think that, and you mentioned this, I think there's no, you should do this earlier than later. It's not just for terminally ill.
No.
Because I'm looking at the Twitter stuff, you know, and it's great, you know, that's important, but also it's important to do it before, you know, everyone needs to do it.
And now it is everyone need to do it. What I like about this, I mean, I think you should do a will as well, but what I like about this is that it, I think when people do a will, they sit on it and think they're done for their life. They, you know, they don't make many changes to the will once they do it. Where this, I feel like it's easy to make changes or easy to just go back to it. It's a nice, quick file type of thing that you can always access and see. And you know, when you say will, a lot of times, you know, attorneys involved and there's all these extra steps where I love what you're doing. So can I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
How do I go about getting this file?
Well, you can go to goodtogopeace.org, and I sell the, I call them the Good to Go Departure Files, and to plan your departure. And that includes a living will, which is considered a legal document in California. So you don't have to see a lawyer to have this. And I just want to say I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I've just lived through this, and I'm sharing my experience trying to get organized. But it is a living will by an organization called agingwithdignity.org, and it's called the Five Wishes. So you get that. And then you get the Cosmic Instruction Manual, the Good to Go Advanced Death Care Directive that I wrote, and you get both of those things. And I sell those on my website. And you can have a party, or you can just order the departure file and then order a phone consultation, or I do consultations via Skype all over the world. So, you know, whatever is the vibe for you, you know, I can accommodate.
GoodToGoPeace.org is where we can find it. Perfect.
Yep.
Okay, and then have you had to utilize your own departure files or someone else's departure files?
Well, funnily enough, I mean, I check my own Good to Go departure file almost weekly because I forget all my passwords. And that's where I have it written down, all the passwords. So I don't know how many times I've referred to it, a million times. But it's so strange because whenever I've done press, they've always said, oh, do you have any examples of people who've passed away that Good to Go has helped them? And I said, yeah, me. Because basically, I created this company after my mom and then subsequently my granny had died from what I went through. And then my dad came to a Good to Go party, ironically, a year before he passed away unexpectedly.
Wow.
And so the company that I created to help others through my mom actually helped me with my dad. And so my dad had pneumonia, went to the hospital. He was in the ICU for 6 days. And during that time, I didn't have to make one single gut-wrenching decision because we had already talked about it. We'd already joked about it. We'd already written everything down. And I was rock solid with what he wanted and what he knew. And the fact that it helped me allowed me the emotional space to focus on the love that we had, the love I had for him, the love he had for me, instead of logistics. And I always say with Good to Go, you know, leave behind love, not logistics, you know. And
so great.
Like you were saying, it is important to do it while you're young and healthy, in a party environment with cocktails and your close friends, or I call it your soul cluster, and like to do it when you're not stressed and it's all hypothetical and abstract. You don't want to complete your advanced planning paperwork an hour before your brain tumor surgery or, you know, in instances like that. I mean, just to give you an example, I've got a really good friend in San Diego. I got her Good to Go a couple of years ago, and I said, I really want to get your parents and your brother Good to Go together. So, you know, see about doing that. And she talked to them. They were not interested because it was morbid and it was too much to think about. And then sadly, her brother was diagnosed with an aggressive brain cancer and passed away, you know, and he was young. He was in his 40s. And so it's just one of those things. It's unpleasant to think about and talk about. But once you face it, it lightens it, you know. And then the thing that really surprised me is I knew that it would give loved ones peace if this advanced planning paperwork sorted out. What I didn't anticipate was the peace that it gave my dad to actually let go and transition.
Wow.
I said to him, you know that everything's taken care of, right? You know, and he just, the look of peace on his face was amazing. And so that to me was just such a gift.
That's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful. We're going to take a phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Raisha from the Netherlands.
How are you, Raisha?
Hey. Hi, Raisha.
I'm fine.
Hope you
guys are fine as well.
Yeah, we're doing good. It's a nice day here in LA, so everything is good.
No complaints.
What do you got for us,
good.
Raisha?
Well, I wanted to respond to what Taj was talking about, not being sure what to get rid of because of what your mom might have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important for you guys to think in the present, like, what do we want to keep?
Mm.
What can we give away or whatever? Because it's, you know, right now, your mom is not here to make that decision. And I think it's really important also for yourselves to have that control, to take back the control in making such decisions, that you don't that you don't no longer
carry on.
Of course, it's. I understand. Sorry. I hope I'm making my point clear, because I'm kind of
no,
all over the place in my thoughts right now.
You're making yourself clear, and I actually do that. I don't. Taj and Tara, you guys kind of think more about what would mom want you to keep.
I'm guilty of that. Yeah.
I generally don't, because I think mom would think she'd want me to keep what
whatever.
I want to keep.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
So,
you do.
But with all that said, if I had the opportunity to do a departure file with my mom and she said, I want you to keep this, then that would have been done. It would have been, I'm keeping this. You know what I mean? So I agree with you, Raisha, where without instruction, my opinion is you should kind of keep what's sentimental to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or even, you know.
Yeah, you said it in a better way than I did.
It's okay. No, you got us there. What were you going
to
say, Amy?
Well, even in the Good to Go paperwork, it says, you know, what do you want done with personal belongings? And you can list. But you know, I do have a lot of clients that say, I don't really care what happens with my stuff because I'm going to be dead and it doesn't matter. You know, but I say, then write that down.
Yeah, write that down.
So
that helps.
If you knew, if your mom said, I don't really care, you wouldn't be agonizing over,
exactly.
you know, this one sweater that you know that she had that you remember, you know, that those kind of things. And so that's why the Good to Go paperwork is just trying to prevent guilt and questioning and uncertainty. And even if someone doesn't want to designate specifically what's going down, they can at least say, I don't care, and it's okay with whatever
Love
you
it.
Decide.
Love mm-hmm. it. Raisha, thank you so much for your phone call.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself.
All right, you too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. No, what do you got, Tara? Why are you looking at me?
I'm just waiting for what you're going to say.
No, I think it's something that, you know, I don't really think about in mom's situation. It's mm-hmm. interesting that you guys do that. Maybe,
well,
Taj, you do more because you're the eldest.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't.
You know,
go ahead, Tara.
Sorry for cutting you off.
It's all right.
I think what it is with Taj, we've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
So. And this is what I was going to mention before. It almost seems like with this company, Good to Go, you're ahead of the game. You're planning, and it relieves pressure off of the person. You know, no one wants anyone to go.
Right.
And when it happens, there's so much. You're going through so much, and then there's so many things to do. There's the burial. There's friends, people. There's so many items. There's things you're looking for that you didn't even know that you had. And there's so much going on, and we were the young ones. That was all on Taj. So, and then you also got to consider there was many people coming wanting things.
Right.
Like, I want this, I wanted this, and, you know, I want Aunt Didi's this, or I want Didi's friends this. And there's so many people pulling and wanting things, and you don't know everything that mom had, or the value, or what it meant to mom. You know, there's picture. I mean, we saw stuff in auction that looked normal to us, a painting or this and that, and it was, well, you know, the value of it was a lot more than what we thought. It was just some like little painting. We probably would have just threw it out to the side. Yeah. And then you see the true value of it. So doing something and planning ahead, it alleviates all of that. And then another thing that I like about this is when you're going through that hard moment, with us it doesn't apply because our mom was taken from us. Mm-hmm. But in situations where someone's sick and you know, they're about to pass, this is something you don't need to discuss. No one wants to really discuss, you know.
You don't want to spend
your last moments not talking about planning when you're going to be gone. You get to really enjoy that time you have with the person. Instead of saying, you know, what do you want us to do with the car and who should get, because that creates fights.
Yeah.
You know, if there's siblings and there's one car, well, I want the car. No, I want the car.
Mm-hmm.
If she said, sell the car, then, yeah. You know, before there's no discussing, it's going to get sold.
I think it's huge for a family to get together and do this. I really do, because even a car is something that may end up in a will or something, but you take something like a T-shirt or mm-hmm. a letter or a report card or something like that. I think it's something that will often get overlooked, and it kind of gives a voice to the person that you're losing. We're going to take one more quick phone mm-hmm. call, if it's okay with you guys.
Sure.
Okay, who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, guys. It's Meredith.
Hi, Meredith. How are you?
Hey, Meredith.
I'm fine. Welcome back, TJ.
Thank you. Was I missed or what?
Nah, I was about to say something about that.
Yeah, you were missed.
We just missed you, but we handled business.
Power of Love. Tyrell didn't do that.
Yeah,
so I was just
I did that on the second show. You can listen back on the podcast. I improved.
I'm sorry about them, but, you know, I did the best I could. What do you got with us, Meredith?
Actually, it's weird that this is the topic. I actually wrote it on Twitter. I know I told you guys before, I'm actually dealing with a mom who's terminally ill, and it's weird. For the past couple of days, I've been thinking I need to write something out for her wishes, because I have so many siblings and such a huge family. And so when I heard Amy, oh, by the way, hi, Amy.
Hi.
When I heard what she did, I was like, wow, that sounds so cool. I'm thinking that is like something fun, like especially while she can talk and do things and get around a little bit.
Yes.
But I do have one question about that. Now, when you do something like that and they write things down, do you have to normally get it notarized too? Because it seemed like sometimes people will say, well, it wasn't notarized, so we're not going to go by that.
Yeah, I mean, the living will can be notarized, but it's considered a legal document if you have two witnesses sign it. But the booklet that I actually took a year writing, that's not considered a legal document, but it should be morally binding. But what I tell people is it's more of an instruction manual that you leave your loved one. So it's kind of an understanding. And you do sign it, and you do get a witness to show that you're of sound mind and sound body, but it's not considered an actual legal document. But it should be morally binding.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's cool. I mean, I like I said, it seemed like it's fun, especially with a person like me who's trying not to be sad and mm-hmm. trying to keep an upbeat, because it's not going to help my mom by being sad. So, I'm sorry, did I cut you off, TJ?
No, you're doing great. Keep going, Mary.
It doesn't matter either way.
Oh, I do have a question for you guys.
Let's hear it.
When you were talking about the house, your mom's house, would you guys, if you guys knew you could get the house back, would you get it back?
It's interesting. I didn't want to leave the house because it was all my whole memory of my mom was there. But other people thought it was bad for us to stay in the house because they're like too many memories. So we got whisked away from the house.
That's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you wouldn't have. I was actually okay with leaving.
Yeah, and I wasn't. Like I actually wanted to stay because that's where my memory of mom was.
It's interesting.
So. That's why the house meant more to me, I guess, when it was lost, was because...
Right.
You lost that connection.
It's a piece of your mom. Again, it's almost like you're mm-hmm. grieving in another way mm-hmm. for that. I totally understand that.
I see that.
Yeah. Meredith, I really appreciate your phone call. Not only for what you added to the show, but for...
Missing you?
Remembering, reminding my brothers my importance. You know? It's very important to hear it from a third party every now and then. But Meredith, Meredith,
we're going to let you go.
One other thing. Can I tell you guys, I came from L.A. I was out in L.A. for your aunt's concert.
Yeah.
And I get back to Dallas now. Remember, I ran into Terrell that time. I always run into people in your family. But this was crazy. I'm at the airport in baggage claim, and I see your cousin. I was like, Brandy?
Oh,
okay. And she was funny. She was like, do I know you? I said, no, I talk to all of you guys like I've known you.
That's great.
She was so sweet. But I'm going to get off the phone. But you guys have a great show. And Amy, I love it. I really love it. I will be going to your website.
Thank you. Feel free to email me, Meredith. Thank you.
Thank you, Meredith.
I will. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye,
take
guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. So that was an awesome call because mm-hmm. she's actually going through that situation. And, you know, and unfortunately for Meredith's situation, she's, you know, her mom?
Yeah, her
who's
mom.
Who's terminally ill. And Amy, I said it before in the show, but I think this is an amazing product and
Thank
content
you.
And something that's so important for everyone because I actually think even though, I mean, we've learned that. I wouldn't have said this before we started the show, but you could talk about these kind of things and have still a fun time doing it.
Absolutely.
You can enjoy yourself mm-hmm. doing it. You can learn about each other, and you feel stronger. My brothers and I always talk about it. By doing the show, we actually feel more stable and more concrete in our lives. And I feel like, you know, doing, whether it's Good to Go Party or you know, doing filling out the files together as a family, I think it could be such a strong bonding experience.
It totally is. And there's so many laughs and there's so many things that everybody learns about each other. And it's the kind of thing where, just if I can give a quick example, I do have clients who are terminally ill or in hospice, but I also mainly target people who are young and healthy because I say if you're 18 to 108, you need this paperwork done. But I did have a client who was terminally ill and I got her and her daughter together, good to go. And at first, the mother, her name is Sharon, she was such a sweetheart, she said, I don't want any kind of service. And her mom said, yeah, but, you know, you got to have something, or what about this? And so basically, through the Good to Go process, we left that evening with a complete service. She wanted her ashes sprinkled in the desert. She found out where they wanted to have, like, a lunch in her name. And because I kept saying, you know, is there a restaurant that you like around that area? Should they have lunch and celebrate you? Because they're going to get something to eat and be in your honor. And so we basically just talked through the whole thing. So we started out with nothing in place, and then we left that day with a complete service. And also, you know, she told her daughter she wanted her to plant some milkweed in her garden so that the butterflies all go to the milkweed plants, and that'll make her think of her. And so the fact that just a 20-second conversation like that can have such a permanent impact and also affect how she celebrates her mom after she's gone, I mean, forget about it. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
And I could tell you from experience, to be able to have that opportunity to have something that stabilizes that relationship is golden.
Right.
You know, if I knew exactly how my mom would want me to celebrate, you know, her birth date or how she would want me to celebrate the birth of the child, any type of little thing that I completely am missing because I didn't get that opportunity would have been just so
golden.
Appreciated by me. Mm-hmm. So I think what I love about it is not only are you learning about, you know, what your loved one would want in the event of their passing, but you're also stabilizing and relaxing, like Terrell said earlier. You don't have to focus on, oh, yeah, and don't forget this and don't forget that. You could just know and be rest assured that all that is taken care of, and you could just spend your last moments in peace, love, and happiness. So I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a paid sponsor or anything. I'm just very passionately impressed. And as you guys know, as my listeners, when I get passionate about something, I get passionate about it. And this is cool. All right. So, Amy, we talked before you came on the air.
Mm.
And, you know, we're musicians.
Yeah.
And you think that we, especially musicians, need to have advanced planning.
Absolutely. And well, yeah. I mean, basically, if you look at, you know, sadly, Prince just, you know, died out of the blue. And he's got all of this, you know, unreleased material and the vaults. And he's got fights over his estate and, you know, things like that. And I can't even imagine with his team around him, his legal team, that nobody ever approached him to do this advanced planning. Or maybe they did and he thought, you know, no, I'm young. I don't need it. You know, maybe he didn't want to face it himself. But it's one of those things where down to the logistics of if you've got musical instruments and you've got a partner that isn't musically inclined, what are they going to do with your musical instruments? Do they know the history of it? Is it used? Is it sold? Is it refurbished? Is it insured? You know, where's the paperwork? Where did they buy it from? Who did they buy it from? You know, all of those things. And then if you've got any kind of songwriting issues, like who gets the publishing, who are the successors to your stuff, and do your loved ones know who to call? I mean, some people have business managers and they can just say, oh, just call, you know, Bob, and they'll give you the information. But I know a lot of singer-songwriters in LA that have publishing deals, but they're not famous. You know, they don't have famous hit songs, but they still get publishing. And so it's things like that for musicians, especially because I love music. It's my main thing in life. I was like, two things: death, rock and roll, that's my thing. is, you know, trying to get musicians to get their advance planning in order. And people think advance planning just means a will. And some people think that you have to be, quote, rich to have a will. And I'm saying, you know, for me, I'm not rich. I'm single. I don't have any kids. If something happened to me, somebody's got to go into my apartment.
Right.
Somebody. An unlucky friend is going to have to go in and take care of everything. Why not give them an instruction manual of what I want done? You know, who's gonna get my Paul McCartney autograph?
<That's great. laughs>
You know, Todd, things like that. You know, but it's things like that. And so I don't want my friends who are grieving my loss to just be like, oh my gosh, Amy left us, you know, with this mess to clear up. And so it's so important for musicians to, I jokingly refer it as getting your poop in a group. You've got to get it together.
Amy, question. So you do parties.
We do parties.
Which is, I like how it's called parties.
Yep.
Because it's one way. You guys have fun at these parties?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
I love it.
You got to have a sense of humor.
Okay. So you do parties, you do canceling, and then you do the departure files that you can order online.
Yeah, we do the consulting, whether it's by phone or by Skype or FaceTime, or they can just order the departure file with zero consultation on my behalf.
But you're part of it. You make it fun.
I try to make it fun, and it's hard for me to like just send a departure file out without writing a million notes, you know, and say, don't forget about this. And by the way, if you're going to think about this, you know. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you just have to detach and be like, okay, maybe that's a party's not your style, or maybe you're shy. I mean, this is a very personal topic as well, you know, and so I'm comfortable with going there if someone else isn't. And so I look at it as, if you're too shy about it, I'll go, you know, I'll do it, you know. So I'm not a shy person. I'm an extrovert, so.
I love it. Taj, do you have anything for us?
There's a couple of Twitter questions, but I'll just say one right now. It's by Jackson Lover, who said, you talk about good memories and I'm happy for you, but I did not have a loving relationship with my parents. Grieving was harder. Tips on grieving
because she didn't have a loving relationship.
Yeah, we can all chime in terms of...
Do you have anything, Todd?
I always tell people, you know, to try and focus on the good memories, you know. There's got to be something in there. Even if it was bad memories or, you know, not so pleasant memories, it probably made you a stronger person. And because you are what your environment is. And so maybe you got strength out of that, out of not having those good memories. So it's weird for me because I'm always grateful for anything, even the failures. So I always try and turn everything to a positive spin.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say in terms of, like, I'm still thankful for making me the person that I am, even with those bad memories.
Yeah.
I think that I agree with Taj as well. And I think that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so if you're out there listening and you don't have an ideal relationship with a loved one, the comfort that I would take is the cosmic bond. The fact that your soul was, you know, born into this family for a reason, and to learn and to grow from that experience, and just know that, you know, maybe your mom or dad in their earthly, you know, form couldn't express, you know, what their soul's love, you know, is giving to you, or what you're giving to them. Just the fact that you exist is a beautiful thing, and you wouldn't exist without your parents. Mm-hmm. And so that's a cosmic love that maybe they weren't able to show on Earth, but that's going to be with you forever. And I do feel that once you, your soul kind of transitions, it's all forgiving, all knowing, all loving, and that your parents, you know, would love and support you now, even though they might not have been able to in life. That's just my
I think it's great.
Point of view. Yeah.
I think those are two valid, strong,
cosmic
great
love.
Response. Great. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention another thing you do. For about 20 minutes every Wednesday, which is today, at 4 p.m. Pacific time, which is in just in a little over a couple hours. You do something called Grievers and Groovers?
That's right.
What is Grievers and Groovers?
Well, that's what I talk to my audience. That's the term of affection I give them, Grievers and Groovers, because I love music. And I just go on the Good to Go Facebook page. I go live. And it's just a place for people to hang out if they want to talk about their grieving, if they want to, you know, hear how others are coping with their grief. You know, we talk about all kinds of different things in pop culture. You know, last week we talked a lot about Tom Petty passing, and yeah, it's just kind of a, I like to look at it as kind of a hug over social media.
Love
just
it.
To let That's people, great. Just to do what you guys are doing, just to let people know they're not alone.
Yeah.
And what you said earlier was so amazing about how...
She's pointing to me, by the way.
Everyone.
Well, let's wait to see what she says first.
I'm totally understanding the brotherly dynamic.
We don't know what she's
going to
say. She might be pointing the wrong
way. You guys definitely need to have the Good to Go stuff in writing. but what you were saying is, you know, society focuses on winners and youth and, you know, everything being perfect. And that's not how life is.
Yeah.
And... You know, there are sad times in life, and so why not talk about them? And I think if we could talk about death and grief, it would make it much less traumatizing when it visits you, because it's going to visit you.
Absolutely. So and I think a lot of people, we talk about this all the time, a lot of people don't think it's going to hit them until it does hit them. And then, like you said, you know, society, we do such a great job of celebrating winners that when our losers, you know, we're lost.
Right.
We don't know what to do. We don't know how it feels. We don't know how long it's going to feel like that for. So like you do on your Grievers and Groovers, we just try to build a community so that people can feel they're not alone and talk about it, you know, because it's going to happen. It's going to hit you in one way or the other. You're going to lose big time, you know, and it's that's just how life is.
I've just been thinking, though, as we do the show, it's definitely, as you say, a party, but I'm sure it does tug on your emotions, because nobody wants to think, you know, I would hate to go to a party and think about one of my brothers passing, but it's reality, you know, me too, you know, we're all going to go at some point. So I'm sure it gets emotional, you know, you throw your jokes and you have your fun and you laugh, but when you leave there, you really, I'm assuming, I've never been to one, but I'm sure there's some emotional, you know, letdown. But at the same time, I think it's a positive thing, because it's reality. It's life.
Right.
And I think it the benefit is, one, you understand the plan.
Yeah.
You know, their wishes. Number two, you appreciate the time you have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's seems it's easier to have these quote unquote parties sooner than later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to try to avoid the point where they're sick or they're in a situation where it's coming sooner than later. But I just thought I just thought that it's tough, and luckily we're fortunate. We talked about Taj and Mom's situation. We're fortunate because we are brothers that get along. I mean, we have our disagreements, but everyone tells us how close we are. But there's a lot of families out there who don't get along with siblings.
Right.
I'm sure these things, you know, raises issues, and it's uncomfortable. It's life, and it's better to deal with it, you know, when that person's alive than to have those arguments when they're gone.
Absolutely.
I agree with everything. I think, though, I don't know. I can't envision a party like this not being fun. I don't know why. Is that something wrong with me?
I think you have some fun moments, but I think it's... I'm not saying
it's
not
real.
Fun. It is real, but it's sad. You're almost grieving while the person's here, because you're talking about them being gone.
Yeah. You're thinking about it.
And for that, for at least for a split second, you really get a peek of life without that person.
Okay. Yeah.
And that can trigger a whole bunch of, I'm not going to have my brother here.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to be gone. This is what he wants me to do with his children. This is what, you know, right. And that can bring some sadness, but it's reality.
Well, even in that consultation I was telling you about earlier with the woman, Sharon, and her daughter, you know, she knew that her time was finite, you know, and ironically, she was hospitalized, I think, the day after our consultation, and she passed away a couple weeks later. So she actually didn't get to fill it out with her own handwriting, but she knew, you know, we had talked about the answers. And she was, you know, she was upset. She was dying. And here we are talking about, well, what do you want when you die? You know, and I remember it really got to her when I said, how do you want to be remembered? And she got really emotional and started crying. And, you know, everyone, you know, I teared up and her daughter teared up. And then the funny thing was, her response was, well, I think people would think I was a reasonable person. And then we all just broke out in laughter, right, because we thought of all the things. And I said, I'm sure you're nothing if not reasonable, Sharon. You know, but again, it's like that joke is something that I still refer to with her daughter, and we still make, you know, make fun of. And I got her, for the year anniversary of her death, I got her a personalized candle, and I called it the Very Reasonable Candle.
Yeah, that's great.
And I put a picture of milkweed and a butterfly on it. You know, so it's just like, it's life. It's happy and sad. It's fun and it's traumatizing, you know, right, at the same time. But, you know, no one leaves a party depressed or regretful. And that's another thing I say, is no one regrets advanced planning. Right. No one regrets planning for their death.
Amy, we are out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
I thank you so much. My brothers and I know
you guys.
Want to thank you. And
yes,
it was such an awesome joy to have you.
Oh, you.
Good to Go Peace is the Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Good to Go Peace. And then the website for Amy is goodtogopeace.org. Before we go, Amy, I like to give our guests maybe 30 seconds or so to say whatever they want to say, or however you want to say it.
What would I like to say? I just want to send out my love to anybody who's grieving. And I feel like I'm only just kind of getting out of the grief cocoon from my dad dying a year and a couple months ago. And so I feel like I'm on the other side of it. And for those who are in the middle of it and, you know, feel like it's very heavy right now, it's not going to rain forever. And I just want to send out all my love to everybody, and please do your advanced planning and have the conversations and write your wishes down, and join me on Facebook Live later on.
I love it. There you go. Yes. She hit every point. So, Amy, thanks so much.
Thank
You're
you.
You're awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Todd, Cheryl, anything you guys want to add before we close?
No, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah, same here.
All right. So that was our show. We'll be back next Wednesday, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.